the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning, Monday, June 19th, also known as Juneteenth today.
Yep.
I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, hey. How are you, Gabby?
Hey. I'm good. How are you?
Fine, fine.
We had some interesting weather pass through over the weekend. Did it storm at your house with hail and everything?
No.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Did it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. We had, lasted for all of 5 minutes.
Well,
but it was
definitely was interesting.
So you're going to have to tell us what's going on because that was weird.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that was happening in some places.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but not at my house, but I'm glad to see you got a little rain.
I needed
despite it being frozen.
I needed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was
all right. Well, we'll pray to get our morning started off. And in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, through St. Romuald, you renewed the life of solitude and prayer in your church. By our self-denial as we follow Christ, bring us the joy of heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
St. Romuald, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can find all of these events on our website at ccmedia.live. Our guests today are going to be a great lineup. We are starting off with Emily Reese. She is the strategic consultant with ACS Technologies, American Belief Study from ACS Technologies. They are examining religious beliefs across generations. This is quite interesting, and I love talking about this. It is always different.
Yeah.
The last time we talked to ACS Technologies, it was their Pew Research on mass attendance after COVID. So looking forward to learning a little bit more about this study.
Hmm.
In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He is a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And today we're going to be talking about difficulties in communicating with our teens. So if you're having some struggles with talking to your teenager, Alan is going to be giving us details on how we can break the ice. And in 48 minutes, Sister Emily Marsh joins us from the Daughters of St. Paul. And today we're going to be talking about the St. Paul Summer Program for high school age girls interested in getting to know a little bit more about religious life. So, oh my gosh, the Daughters of St. Paul,
they
radiate joy and smiles and peace. And they're just a perfect group to discern religious life if you're interested. So it's going to be a great show today, and looking forward to your weather report, Damian, because like David said, it's quite interesting out there.
Well, it's hot for sure. Hot and humid is continuing to be in the forecast. Heat index today about 115, so if you don't really need to spend a whole lot of time outside, don't do it. Otherwise, be cautious, drink a lot of fluids, you know the routine. We will get some finally much-needed rain that we've been waiting for, hopefully by this afternoon. At least that's what's in the forecast, 40% chance.
Okay.
But I'm not a gambling man, so I don't know if that's good or bad odds. High today, 97, low 77, winds out of the west-southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, a greater chance of rain, 70%. So we should get it in the next 24 to 36 hours one way or another. And the high tomorrow should be around 91 due to the moisture in the area. Temperatures in and around the area right now, Gulfport, it's 84, New Orleans, 85. And in Baton Rouge, Mandeville, Homotivido, all reporting 83 degrees. So everybody's in the 80s and shooting for the 90s. Right now, we're shooting for events coming up, so stick around. Wake Up's just getting started.
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Whenever someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
The law of Talion limited blood feuds and the fear of retaliation. It opposed, for example, Lamech's boastful vengeance. "I have slain a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me." During the time of Moses, the law of Talion was an advancement in justice because it established a principle of equity. The eye of the rich and powerful was equal to the eye of the poor and helpless. It takes genuine courage, even heroism, not to fight violence with similar violence. When we do not strike back in kind, but confront our adversary with compassion, love, and forgiveness, we may win his heart, just as Jesus wins ours. Jesus' teaching here does not mean, however, that Christians should not protect the right of others. For example, parents protecting their children or their future security. We can offer our cheek to be struck again, but I cannot offer another's cheek to be struck. Consider the following poem about vengeful hearts. Six humans trapped by happenstance in black and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. The dying fire in need of logs, the first man held his back. On the faces round the fire, he noticed one was black. The next man, looking across the way, saw one not of his church and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes. He gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man sat back and thought of all the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from sight, for all he saw in his stick of wood was his chance to spite the white. The last man of this forlorn group did naught except for gain. Giving only to those who gave was how he played the game. Their logs held tight in death's still hands was proof of human sin. They didn't die from the cold outside. They died from the cold within. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Father Chris. And thank you for listening to Catholic Community Radio. And we also thank you for watching us on Catholic Life Television in Baton Rouge. It's Monday morning, and we're up and at it, and time for you to do the same. We have some events we want to share with you. In particular, there will be a natural family planning presentation on June 29th from 7 to 8 in the Melanson Center at St. Catherine of Siena Catholic Church in Metairie. Dr. Angela Paris will provide an overview of the many benefits and options of natural family planning, and you will also hear from a panel of married couples providing brief testimonies. So it should be pretty interesting. If you want more information, all you have to do is go to ccmedia.live. You must RSVP, so go to ccmedia.live, get the website, an RSVP so they can have the right amount of materials and little refreshments for you when you attend.
There's a fun trip coming up, and bear with me. My computer just went out on me there. It's July 17th through the 21st, and it's for a full week of whitewater rafting and hiking and so much more. You're going to be staying at Wafloy Mountain Village, just the name makes me want to go. Ooh. Yes. And did I mention it was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee? Did I say that? I
mean, you have now.
Beautiful
now.
Up there. So
nice.
Anyway, if you're a rising eighth grader or graduating up to a graduating senior looking for adventure, community, and time with the Lord, consider joining us in the Great Smoky Mountains. Sign up at scschurch.com or just go to ccmedia.com.
Yeah, ccmedia.live is where you can go.
Did I say
and
com?
Find out all of the information. Yes.
You know what? I'm just going to take
That's
the rest
okay.
of the day off.
Yeah. You already
like
took
a
the
cup
weekend
of coffee
off.
Sometimes
I
help too.
Took the week off.
Apparently it wasn't enough.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, the St. Paul Summer Program is happening on July 26th through the 31st. Do you sometimes think God might be calling you to the religious life? Well, you can join the Daughters of St. Paul for a week of prayer, discernment, classes, media, and fun, and get an inside look at the life of a sister for yourself. This is an opportunity for high school women ages 14 to 18. It's happening July 26th through the 31st in Boston, Massachusetts. And for more information, you can go to ccmedia.live.
There you go. Also, in Baton Rouge at Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Church, if you want to know about purgatory, here's your chance, because Father Chabelle is going to discuss what does the church teach us about purgatory. It's going to be Thursday, this Thursday, June 22nd, 9 o'clock in the morning. They're going to start with coffee and snacks, kind of get you warmed up. Then from 9:30 to 10:30, they're going to do the presentation in the Parish Activity Center. So the event is free to attend. Register now and go to ccmedia.live. But as I said, 9 o'clock for snacks and coffee, 9:30 for the presentation this Thursday. And one other event taking place at Our Lady of Mercy in Baton Rouge, it is the Charbel Healing Mass, St. Charbel Healing Mass, that is. It'll be Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, June 27th. The Mass will begin at 6, followed by healing services. If you want to attend confession, that'll be at 5 and a rosary at 5:30. So a lot of things going on at Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Church in Baton Rouge.
The Catholic Charismatic Renewal, in coordination with the CYO office, will lead a bus trip to Franciscan University of Steubenville for Main Campus High School Youth Conference 4. That's, I guess, the name of it. The trip dates are Thursday, July 13th through Sunday, July 17th. For a lot more information, go to ccmedia.live.
All right, there you have it. We've got more events there. Just go to our calendar of events and you will see all the activities taking place, not only this week, next week, but many weeks out. Don't go too far. Emily Reese is coming up. We're going to learn a lot about what's going on in regards to our religious beliefs across generations.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 19th. Today we celebrate Saint Romuald. After a wasted youth, Romuald saw his father kill a relative in a duel over property. In horror, Romuald fled to a monastery near Ravenna in Italy. He founded monasteries and hermitages throughout Italy in the early 11th century. During part of his life, he suffered great spiritual dryness. One day, as he was praying, Romuald experienced a deep sense of God's presence, which never left him. His reinvigorated faith helped him immensely when he was wrongly accused of a scandalous crime. Amazingly, his fellow monks believed the charges. Romuald was given a severe penance, forbidden to offer Mass, and excommunicated. He endured his unjust sentence in silence for 6 months. At the Campus Mondoli Monastery that he founded in Tuscany, Romuald began the Camaldolese Benedictine Order, which united the monastic and hermitic traditions. Eventually, Romuald's father became a monk as well, regularly turning to his son for the courage to remain faithful. Romuald died in 1027. He is often depicted in art with his fingers to his lips, requesting silence. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. and David Dawson. Our first guest today is Emily Reese. Emily is the strategic consultant with ACS Technologies, American Belief Study. And today we're going to be examining religious beliefs across generations. That is our latest study today. Emily, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about ACS Technologies.
Good morning, Gabby, and thanks for the invitation. ACS Technologies is a company that's been around for more than 40 years doing church technology work with congregations all over the United States.
Well, and you know, the last time we spoke to ACS Technologies, it was a little after COVID, and it was about that Pew Research kind of the attendance, mass attendance after the pandemic or post-pandemic, really. This is quite interesting. So you're examining religious beliefs across generations, whether generations believe in a God or in multiple gods, which was quite interesting. Tell us a little bit about this study and kind of take us through it.
Sure. So the American Belief Study has actually been around for about a dozen years. We have done research in three different time frames with 15,000 people each time. And so we've been looking at things over that time, which has been fascinating to see some of the shifts that have taken place. This most recent study took place at the end of December 2020 and January 2021. So obviously there were some things that were on top of mind for everyone around that time frame. Mm-hmm. And the American Beliefs Study then looked at the impact of COVID, as well as fears for the future, as well as looking at people's religious beliefs. And so that's what this most current report is all about. What are their beliefs about God and Jesus across generations?
So what have you found when you've sampled nearly 15,000 Americans? What have you observed with this study?
So actually, it's really fascinating to see the changes over time, but also the consistencies over time. And one of the things that we have found, regardless of generation, particularly in this most recent study, is that more than 50% of people in every generation of those 15,000 that we surveyed believe that God is love and invites the world into a loving relationship. So we often think about people thinking that God is wrathful and judgmental, and actually our research indicates the opposite is true, which I think is a wonderful place to start in conversations with people.
So who are the generations that you studied? Is it particularly young people, or is it just across, starting from, you know, baby boomers all the way to Gen Zs?
Actually, we had a sample of five different generations, but for the purposes of the research, we have such a small adult size sample of Gen Z, which for the study was defined as 1997 to 2012, that we combined the millennial generation and Gen Z as one cohort group for statistical purposes so that there would be some accuracy in that. But we started with the silent generation, which is 1928 to 1945. And then the boomers, 46 to 64, Gen X, 65 to 80, and the millennials, 1981 to 1996. So as we think about all those generations, and we looked at their comparisons and their contrasts in terms of their responses to things, it was very interesting to see how things have changed.
Well, did you survey across all Christian denominations, or was it one particular denomination, or did you just ask general questions, you know, do you believe in God? Do you believe in multiple gods? What are your beliefs?
Sure. We talked to people who would be categorized as practicing Christians, and that would be across denominations. Also nominal Christians, same is true there. And then people who would be described as none, N-O-N-E-S, and they would be people who would say they have no real faith connection at all. So it's interesting to get a sense of across those spectrum, what we are looking at in terms of people's responses to various questions.
Emily, this is Damien. I got a quick question, Gabby. What did you find as far as people attending church services, in Catholic version, masses. Did you find that they are going as much as they used to before the pandemic? And also, if they're not going, why aren't they going?
Mm-hmm. Well, this particular study didn't really look at the attendance patterns. It really looked at people's beliefs about church, faith, different aspects of God, and their willingness to perhaps attend. So one of the things we looked at, if people were interested in attending church or mass, what would be the factors that they would be looking for? And so one of the things that has been consistent over the three times we've done the American Belief Study, and number one across the board, across the United States, has been warm and friendly encounters, and then followed by quality sermons. And so those are two things that are really important and consistent with what has been found in other research reports, like Pew. Pew did some research a few years ago related to the quality of sermons, what people are expecting when they attend worship. And so our research confirms what they had found as well.
That's interesting. You know, and I, when I was reading this study, I noticed you made a point here. Most Americans of all generations believe there is a God or gods, which is quite interesting to me, or of some kind of higher power. But millennials scored the highest for atheism. I can say that I really do believe that is true. I am part of the millennial generation, and sometimes I feel like I'm the only Catholic out there, especially with a lot of people around me. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that we have seen consistently across generations, and if you look closely at the report, there is a sense of declining belief across generations. And so from the silent through the boomer through Gen X to the millennial generations, we have seen a decline in that. And I think some of it has to do with how well we are discipling people. And the tendency to attend worship or mass over the course of the last four decades has been in decline. And so the less people are exposed to the tenets of faith and the practices of faith, the more apt they are, I think, to question whether there is any belief at all.
So what are they looking for then? What was the conclusion for those that the 15,000 that you surveyed, what are they looking for when it comes to going to church?
Well, the first thing, of course, I mentioned was warm and friendly encounters. Quality sermons was number two. Traditional worship, but we haven't really got a clear definition of what that means, and it's probably different between Catholic and Protestant groups.
For sure. Right.
You know, we have some commonalities in terms of the liturgy, but also some very distinct differences, particularly also with regard to Holy Communion. And so those were some things that were important. Interestingly, since we had found that warm and friendly encounters was number one across the first two times that we did the American Belief Study, we added a question in the third iteration that was more geared toward, well, what's this warm and friendly encounters thing all about? So we hypothesized that it was about the opportunity to build relationships. And that has actually been proven as one of the top five things that people are looking for when they would attend worship or mass or get involved with a church in general.
Emily, is this a report that maybe church parishes or pastors can take a look at?
Absolutely. All the reports that are being released from the American Belief Study are available at AmericanBeliefs.com. It's a free download, and so churches can take a look at them. We've got six that have already been released. There are three more that are in the queue coming in the next few months. The next one is all about those folks who have no faith tradition. And so the teaser on that one is that millennials, no surprise, are the highest number of the nuns, no faith tradition, that we mm-hmm. found in our survey. And we also then incorporate the information from the American Beliefs Study into one of our platforms at ACS Technologies, and that is called Mission Insights. And we enable people to download information, run very specific reports. Because of the high number of participants, we can project down to neighborhood level what people's attitudes and beliefs are in their own communities with some statistical accuracy. And so that's a service that's provided through many judicatories. For example, there are several Catholic dioceses and archdioceses that have access to Mission Insight and are providing that to their parishes.
Yeah. Emily, we can go to AmericanBeliefs.com for more information. Emily Reese with ACS Technologies, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for your time.
Quite interesting interview and survey. So definitely check that out. We could have talked about this, I think, for another 30 minutes, just kind of examining this study. But stay with us. We'll be back. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Thanks for tuning in to Wake Up. Danny and Collado, Gabby Smith, and David Dawson with us now. Our good friend on a Monday morning, Alan Migliorato, with the author of the book, Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. In particular, our topic, well, are you having a tough time talking to your teen, more or less young adult? Well, hopefully Big Al's got some answers for us, at least some tips. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. LSU won over the weekend. They'll hopefully win again tonight with our fingers crossed and beat Wake Forest, the number one team in the country. But I digress. But you did ask how I was doing, so
that's
I'm glad you know.
You wanted to know.
So let's talk about there's, you know, I know that parents have a tough time really trying to relate to their teens sometimes. They just don't want to open up or share what they're thinking. So how do we do that, Alan? How do we get the conversation started? I wouldn't think you want to go do a deep dive right out of the box. You probably want to start out with a little small talk and keeping it light, huh?
Yeah, a lot of times parents reach for the megaphone because, you know, we think, well, the louder we are, the more they're going to listen, or the more direct we are. It's one of those, it really is like learning a different language. And first, like the very first question I ask parents who are really struggling communicating with their own teenagers is, how approachable are you? Are you a parent who, you know, you ask, like this is a great example. I just asked, how are you guys doing? And you told me, well, I mean, did I really want to listen to, I mean, I did because it's you. But
if I was your teen, you wouldn't listen to me. No, I'm teasing with you.
Well, okay. Maybe, right? Maybe.
Really?
It's like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, well, I mean, I guess all right. You know, I'm fine. That's the best. Everything's okay. Everything's good. And that's the natural response. So when we ask one of those questions that are kind of a rote question, you know, our kids are going to give us a rote response. So how are you? I'm fine. And that's right. The end of the discussion. Right. Hey, tell me what you did today. There's an open-ended question. Well, not right. much. Well, what did you do? I don't know. Well, if you did know, that's my favorite thing to say. Mm-hmm. And they say, I don't know. I always say, well, if you did know, what would you have told me? You know, and then that usually opens up like a dialogue. My daughter laughed the other night because I told her that we were going to be talking about this on Monday. And she goes, you know, I don't know why. She goes, like, all of us just kind of open up and spill our whole day to you when you come home and have dinner with us. And I'm like, yeah, that's brainwashing. I've done that since you were children. You know, like, tell me about your day. What was your favorite part of your day? What was your least favorite part of your day? You know, if you could change one thing about your day, what would you change? But here's the thing, like, being a parent, when we ask questions, we have to be ready to listen actively,
yes.
right? We can't ask a question to try to get to something like we're trying to trick them into telling us something. Mm-hmm. We've got to practice active listening. So tell me about your day. Well, I went to school. Oh, really? I mean, I know you went to school, but, like, did you have a test today? How'd you do on that test? You know, oh, that's awesome. How's your friends? And ask about a particular friend. So, like, we ask questions, we've got to really be interested in listening and not have an agenda on our side that we have to get this monologue out so we can teach our kids a lesson.
Exactly.
Sometimes the lesson is just listening.
And picking a topic that they're interested in and wanting to talk about, too. A lot of times they'll go to movies and you say, how was the movie? And, oh, it was great. But you, and the conversation kind of ends there. You got to say, well, what did you like most about it? Just like you said, you got to gradually work your way into it and get the conversation going so they can get warmed up. I still have to do that with my son, who's not married, but he's a young adult, and it's like pulling teeth sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And because maybe they're just not in a good mood, they had a rough work day, and if they did, then I want to dig about that. I want to know, okay, so what made it so bad? So by the time I'm finished the conversation, I'm hopefully lifted his spirits up a little bit and got him motivated to move on, you know?
No, and that's a great point. But think about, like, if you had a bad day at work, or, you know, like you had to do a Monday morning interview with me, and then you go home and you're all miserable. And so and somebody asks you, so how was your day? And you're like, oh, it was good. Well, what was the worst part of your day? And you're like, oh, I interviewed Alan. You know, like, sometimes you just don't feel like, sometimes you don't feel like talking about it. And so it's timing, too. It's finding that time. Maybe it's in the car ride, you know, where they're not as much on their phone,
right,
or where they're just really not focused, or going out to dinner and just having a one-on-one, or even just kind of sitting outside, phones inside, and you guys have a conversation, make a campfire. There's, I mean, something where it's eye contact and one-on-one in a more intimate setting and not a forced one, you know, like maybe you're playing checkers, or maybe you're playing cards, or a board game, you know, and so you're concentrating on the same thing, and that opens the dialogue as well, you know, and it's really like if you've not done it before, it can feel awkward, but that's okay. I mean, when we're awkward, when we are uncomfortable, that's when we grow. So that's what we've got to try to do as parents.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. And that is the thing, is get them away from all devices and get a little one-on-one going on. I don't care if it's like, hey, man, it is hot, and it is. Let's go grab a snowball. Come on. And just do that, and that will begin the relationship and the conversation on whatever it may be that you're headed toward. Again, the key is, you know, and it could be about relationships, too. If they've got a girlfriend, a lot of times you can't find out anything. If it's a guy and a girl, I don't know, maybe they talk more about the guy. But I know it's tough to talk to a male teen over a female teen any day of the week. I've got two daughters and a son, and trust me, I always had great conversations with my daughter. And with my son, it's like pulling teeth. That might be why he became a dentist.
You know, a lot of them, a lot of times you have young adults and teens that are on the phone quite a bit, you know, and I've had this conversation too. Like, I'll text my daughter, she'll be sitting on the couch on her phone, and I'll text her, what you doing, you know, or this phone will explode in 30 seconds, you have to put it down, or something funny, you know, and like, she'll go, oh my gosh, Dad, if you don't want to talk, just say so. And I'm like, okay, let's talk. And she'll go, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, I want to talk about your cell phone use and how it's killing your brain. And she'll go, oh my gosh, like, you know, and like these jokes, like, you got to keep it light too. If you have that serious conversation every time you sit down with your kids, they're not going to want to sit down with you.
Right.
So it's got to be more than just about your agenda. Really care. Like, and that's the hardest thing, is like, well, I care. Do you? I mean, do you really care about them as a human being, or do you just care about being able to parent in the correct manner? So we've got to care about our kids as human beings as well. What are they going through? What are they struggling with? You know, how's their faith life? Have they, you know, what's their thing that they struggle with when they pray? Those are deeper conversations. But sometimes, hey, how's your faith life? We'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't believe you said that, you know? I'm like, well, I did. How is it? You know, tell me about your faith life. Tell me about your relationship with God. That's an awkward conversation starter.
Boy, yeah.
But you can get there, you know, you can get there.
Sure. I agree with you. I think the one key as a parent is, whatever you do, don't be judgmental, because the minute you go there, the conversation's over.
Well, we can judge actions, and that's what we're called to do, but we can't judge people as a human being. And everybody makes mistakes, you know, but we've got to call each other out on actions. If our kids are smoking weed, and you're saying don't be judgmental, I mean, I think it's time to make a judgment call on those actions.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a time and a place, but not, hey, you're a horrible person. Like, absolutely not. They're not a horrible person. They're human, and they're making the same kind of mistakes that you probably made, and maybe not as worse or not as bad as you made when you were a kid. But remember, like, we all make those mistakes, and they're not bad people. They're just, they're learning, you know, they're making these decisions on their own. Sometimes we hate to see them, too, because we know what that road is going to lead to, but we still got to be patient and shepherd them back on the right path.
What are some conversational topics for teens to get going? Help us parents out there. What do teens like to talk about these days?
You know, so here's a question. I always like to talk about faith, and no matter what, like, God's involved in everything. So I try not to bring God out of anything. But a question that I will always ask, especially, like, if my kids, you know, we haven't talked about it for a while, is, hey, if you had to ask God one question and he had to answer it right away, what would it be? What would you want to know? You know, and an open-ended question, like a thought-provoking question, or if you could change something about your best friend, what would you change? Or if you could change something about me, what would you change? That's a hard one. You know, that's a difficult one to listen to as a parent. If you could, you know, if I could be a better parent, how would you be a better parent than I am someday when you're a parent? And that's a tough one to listen to. You know, I wouldn't be as controlling, and I wouldn't be as mean, or I would give my kids all the freedom they wanted to. And then you always want to respond to it. Oh yeah, that's because you're not a parent yet. You know?
That's right.
You can't do that.
Well, Alan, as always, it's a pleasure to chat with you, especially as we try to develop relationships with our teens. Where do they go if they want to find out more?
You can check us out at AdventureCatholic.com or on Facebook. You can find me at Adventure Catholic.
Alan Migliorato, have a great week.
All right, guys. God bless you.
All right, Sister Emily Marsh is coming up next.
Here's a CC Media Did You Know.
Want to find out what's going on in the church community? Go to ccmedia.live and click on Events and News. Then click Community Events for our calendar. Just visit ccmedia.live.
Past the hour on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson along with Gabby Smith, Damian Collado, and our next guest is Sister Emily Marsh. She is with the Daughters of St. Paul. Thank you, the Daughters of St. Paul. Anyway, good morning, Sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you for having me this morning.
Sure, sure. Now, you have a summer program coming up for high school girls. Talk about that.
We sure do. Yeah, we have the St. Paul Summer Program, which we've held every year for about 25 years now at our provincial house up in Boston. Yeah. So it's one of the only programs that exists for high school women, women under 18 who are looking to learn more about religious life. So
this is really cool.
A whole week with us. Yeah.
They can travel to Boston and spend a week or almost a week with you guys, huh?
Yeah. So just about a week. They basically live as much of our life with us as is possible, the prayer and the mission and community life. This year we've got women coming from as far away as California and Texas.
Gosh.
Wow. Yeah, Wisconsin. So,
What is the turnout usually like when you have one of these, Sister?
It varies, you know, anywhere from like 7 or 8 up to, I think the biggest programs we've had are over 20 women.
And
this year it's shaping up.
Wow.
It's been a couple years because of COVID that we haven't had it. So it's shaping up to be a pretty good group this year.
I can only imagine. So this is almost like an immersion into vocation life, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we get them up bright and early with us. We pray morning prayer, and they have meals with the community. We do some classes, so they learn about, you know, religious life, prayer, discernment, and then we immerse them in our mission as well. So we get them working in our publishing house, in the shipping department, reading manuscripts that are coming in, working on video projects, so all kinds of stuff.
So we know it's for young ladies. What's the age group?
Yeah, so those who are entering ninth grade through those who have finished 12th grade. So that usually ends up being about 14 to 18 years old.
Yeah.
But in high school or just finished with high school.
And that's any young lady just interested in vocations. Okay.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we figure in high school, women often aren't totally convinced or totally sure of what God might be calling them to do, but as long as there's an openness to it, this is a great opportunity for them to learn what it's like.
That is fascinating. So they stay with you at the convent, I guess? or how does that work?
Yeah, we have a, our provincial house is quite large.
Okay.
So we have a wing, a floor of one of the buildings that's set aside for the young ladies. So they're staying right there with us and, yeah, have access to the chapel and different parts of the convent and publishing
house. Awesome.
So what's
Sister,
a day? Oh, go ahead, Gabby. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I want to talk about the uniqueness of the Daughters of St. Paul because they also focus on media, which is so cool.
Yes, it
is.
Can
you tell us what makes the Daughters of St. Paul so unique?
Yes, exactly. So our mission in the church is to evangelize with all forms of communication, all forms of media. We were founded more than 100 years ago, so at that time, media mostly meant press. Print media.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. over the century, as we know, media has developed tremendously, and we have sisters involved in radio, as you all are, but also podcast, video, which has now morphed into YouTube, digital and social media, and we still do traditional print publishing. So just this conviction that we can reach so many more souls through the media. And also mm-hmm. through offering our lives, you know, in reparation for any harm that the media has caused, and that there would be a multiplication of good media.
Wow.
So all of that is kind of wrapped up in who we are.
Well, and plus you guys, y'all have this inner joy that is just contagious. So
yes.
It needs to be out there, you know, so that it can, because I mean, we catch that ripple effect from y'all, that joy that y'all have. So young lady comes in, that she's going to spend the whole week with you. What would a day be like? During this week?
Yeah, so she'd get up and we'd go to chapel, have morning prayer and mass, breakfast with the community. And then typically the morning we would do a class and offer some reflection time. And then part of our prayer life is an hour of Eucharistic adoration every day. So the young women join us in that. And then, you know, we move on to lunch with the community, and then the afternoon usually ends up being either some experience in our publishing house with some of our media projects, or an outing to our local Catholic bookstore, or one day we'll do an outing just in the greater Boston area, for especially those who are coming out of town.
Cool.
And then the evening is time for recreation with the sisters, a movie night. I think we're planning a campfire one night, so that could be fun.
I can only imagine traveling to Boston like that. And as far as travel goes, somebody gets there. I mean, is it going to be complicated, or what do y'all? I'm sure it's not complicated.
Well,
what do y'all have in mind?
We pick everybody up from the you know, however they come in from the airport or the train station.
Mm-hmm.
Some women who are more local, they end up driving and they get dropped off. I give a lot of credit to these young ladies because they do. They do get on planes from some faraway places.
Right, Yeah, that's why that is neat that y'all would pick them up at the airport like that, too.
Oh, for sure.
A fun place, too.
So what would the cost be for someone if they're interested?
The cost for this year's program is $125, and then we do offer scholarships for women who can't afford that. Just because we want to make it available.
That's fantastic.
That's
fantastic. A whole week for $125, huh?
Right?
That is really good, huh?
That's a good time.
Too bad they don't have it for the guy.
Yeah. Can they have something
for... You need chaperones, sis?
I'd like to go to Boston.
Heck yeah, for $125? Man.
Yes.
What are y'all not going by horse and buggy, are you?
No, but I mean, considering they're staying at the...
I'm teasing. Yeah.
And we have some very generous benefactors who love to support vocations.
That's great. How many nuns are in the order now?
So in the United States and Canada, we're about 120. Then worldwide, because we're in more than 50 countries, so we're about 2,000 worldwide.
Oh, that is so good to hear.
About 120, actually, and there are about 65 sisters at our provincial house in Boston. So the young ladies get exposure to an awful lot of sisters.
So if someone's interested, what's the deadline for them to sign up?
So the deadline is June 30th.
Oh, okay.
So there's still a couple more weeks that they could sign up, and they can go to our website, daughtersofstpaul.com/vocations.
Daughters, is it all spelled out? Daughters of St. Paul?
Daughtersofstpaul.com.
Okay. Daughtersofstpaul.com. And then and Gabby will probably put a link to it as well. This is really amazing.
It's on our website, too.
It's already on our website.
CCmedia.live.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, there you go. Sister, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you have a full house there. I mean,
thank you for having me. And please pray for all the young women who will be coming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks. God bless you.
All right. Y'all, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty neat.
Yeah,
you
nice.
Know, that those doors are wide open. And you don't think about women's vocations a lot. You know, we're always talking about priestly vocations and everything. But these young ladies are some are older ladies, but they are just so on fire with their faith. And they're so happy, and it's so contagious, you know, the things that they do. You see them coming down the street, and it just already gives you peace. You know what I mean? Because they're in full habit.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, that is so nice.
It is. So, okay, well, let's pray for them. And let's pray for us. Yesterday was Father's Day, so why not a prayer to St. Joseph? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O St. Joseph, whose protection is so great, so strong, so prompt before the throne of God, I place in you my interests and desires. O St. Joseph, do assist me by your powerful intercession and obtain for me from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.